all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 5. Reading from verse 10 through verse 13. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in him, or in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, remember that word is echo, he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that we may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have wonderful words spoken by your prophet and your apostle John, believing, Lord, that we who echo the Son echo life, and we that echo the Son know that we have eternal life. And so, Father, we are thankful, Lord, that it is not something that we have to manufacture ourselves, but simply the fact that we have your life living in us. And knowing that your life is living in us, we know that the things that you do, we shall also do. And so we commit ourselves, Lord, to those things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just to recap last night, we showed how Brother Branham was emphatic in defining the believer of John 14:12 as he, anybody, he says. And another place he said, every person who believes. We also showed how that he said it would not be just one person in several other quotes as well. We also read several wonderful quotes as he defined the he, as in John 14:12 in paragraph 68 from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He said, St. John 14:12, he said, anybody, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also. Now notice, these are not my words, but these are the words of Brother Branham. You know, some people say, well, Brian, he's teaching false. He's saying that he is plural, but yet we have a vindicated prophet who says anybody and everybody. And if that's not plural, I don't know what is. You see? And so if anyone wish to argue against a vindicated prophet, actually they're going to do it at their own risk. And the word anybody that Brother Brown defined as he, in he that believeth, is not singular. Anybody and any person and anybody is not singular. It's plural. Again, in the same sermon, paragraph 136, he said, they said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, there's a difference. See, that's right. See, and they say, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. And as we pointed out last night, that those who say that, Brother Branham is saying, that's a Catholic doctrine. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism, that's a Catholic doctrine. Just like not eating meat, that's a Catholic doctrine. So where's the Spirit from? Amen. Then he goes on to say, well, the Methodists say, well, we're Bible-based. Well, you know, we're based upon the Bible. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? See, right. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, that doesn't sound singular to me. Every person, every creature, doesn't sound like it was just for one man. Now, where is it at? He said, that's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Now, where is it at? When this vindicated prophet, in this same sermon, defines the he in he that believeth as every person, and we know that anybody or every person are not singular, but speak of a plural, as in many, then where do men come up with singular from? And I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from their listening, a lack of listening to a vindicated prophet. When they become the gospel unto themselves, when they become the person who knows all, we have got to shed all of our thinking. They think because, well, I know English and I know he is singular. Therefore, I know that's singular. Brother Branham was wrong. I mean, that's what they said. And I say, you're wrong in doing that. When you have a vindicated prophet that explains it as he, as anybody or any person or any creature, for that matter. You say any creature? Yeah, didn't God use a donkey to speak to a backslidden prophet? And I've proven by taking every language of the Bible there is, and I've shown you using all languages that we know, even the Greek, that these words that Jesus was addressing are not addressed to one person, but they are whosoever believes in me. I've also shown that the Bible, that the only Bible that uses the word he is the King James Version, and those Bibles that are derivatives off of that, or that are not translations, but are transliterations of the King James Bible. Again, in paragraph 212, Brother Branham quotes John 20:21, and he says, notice the Father that sent me went with him. The Jesus that sends us goes in. A little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, for the person Jesus, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. The works that I do shall ye do also. Now go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. So that is a direct challenge to every one of us. See what he did, now see what you do. Is a comparison there? If the comparison is not there, then there's something wrong. We are not, listen, they were called Christians, why? Christ-like. All right? They were like Christ. Brother Manson, now go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. What? What did you say, Brother Branham? He said, go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. Compare yourself to what? To the things he did. The works he did. Now that is a direct challenge to every believer to see the life and the nature that was projected from the eldest son, and then look at what nature and character is projecting from you, and see if your fruits are the same as his fruits. Now remember, Brother Branham said, what you are here is just a reflection of where you're going. So, you know, if you're a nasty person here, you're going to be a nasty person over there. That's right. So if you don't want to be a nasty person over there, you better die to yourself. Because that's what Christianity is all about, is dying to yourself. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living anymore. It's Christ is living in me. If it was Paul living, he'd be out killing Christians again. Paul had to die to Paul. Actually, when he died to Saul, he became Paul. Amen. And if Jesus Christ is the eldest brother in a vast family of brethren, and we are to be conformed to that image, what does that mean for us? It means that look at him, what he did, that's the way it should be reflecting in us as well. See? And as I said, this is a direct challenge to you, it's a direct challenge to me. He's not talking about William Branham here. He's making the challenge to us, God's children. In his message, Questions and Answers, COD, Brother Branham reads a question on the subject and he answers it very clearly. And will every true believer do the works that Jesus said, as stated in St. John 14:12? No, not exactly. Or not exactly, no. And this is where the brothers stop. But Brother Branham makes it very clear. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. Well, I don't think that's in St. John 14, but it's all right. It's Mark 16. Or is this only to be Elijah? Must the believer do all of that, that really believe? And if he really is a real believer, will he raise the dead and do the great miracles? Now, that is among the believers. That's what Brother Branham says. That's among the believers. Then he goes on to say, see, every man doesn't have those gifts, but that don't mean that just one person will do it either. There'll be a group of people. So that puts the balance. You see, there's always a balance. It's not just one person, and it's not everybody's going to do everything. Paul said we all have a measure of faith. He said, do all prophesy? Do all speak with tongues? He said, no, but he said, not all do, but some do. But just because of some do, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, well, because you don't see, you're not part of the body. We all have a place in God's economy. And today, by God's grace, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lay out all the works that I know of so far. And by the way, as I read on, I'm learning more and more every day. And you will too as you open your Bible and read and listen to a vindicated prophet. And you're going to find one thing. You're there. I'm going to read you things this morning that you're going to say, hey, that's me. I didn't realize that's the works of Christ. That's John 14, 12. You see, people want to confine. They got an exclusive doctrine. They want to confine John 14, 12 to a vindicated prophet and say, whoa, that's the discernment. Now, Brother Branham does throw that in with the works. He does. But actually, that's Hebrews 4. A discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's actually John 4. The woman at the well. But it is part of the works of Christ because it's part of that nature. But there's certain things that you'll do. Like, look, I can just look in here and I know there's certain people can play the piano by ear. Certain people can play the piano, but they can't play it by ear. Certain people that can't play the piano at all. Right, Jim? Me too. All right. But that doesn't make the person who can play the piano better than the person who can't play the piano. Maybe you can play something else, or you can do something else, or you have something that is a reflection of the nature of God projecting itself from you and through you. You see? So he says, every man doesn't have those gifts, but that don't mean that just one person will do it. There'll be groups of people. Like, for instance, if we had a little girl here in the church, a little boy, and somebody that we really love, and the life would go out of them, the whole church would get together, they go to fasting and praying. Lord, have mercy on this child. See, God would raise that child up. How many ever seen or read the Nicene Fathers in them? And you know, that's the way they did it in the early church. They'd all get together, you know, and even raise up their pastor sometime. And different ones like that, if God seemed fit to do it, but they did it. And as I mentioned last night, when Elijah himself went in to lay hands, he actually laid himself on that child three different times. He laid his hand, he laid on that child, he prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. He got back, he got up, he went back, laid his hands, and you know, his hands in the boy's hands, his mouth in the boy's mouth, and he did it again. Nothing happened. Most of us would be discouraged. But Elijah did it a third time, and God gave life back to the boy. When he prayed for rain, after 3.5 years of no rain, and he prayed for rain, he was in his cave in Horeb. He sent out, I don't remember the fellow's name, but he was his servant at the time. He sent him out seven different times. Got to check my hands, make sure I got them right. Seven different times he prayed to God for the rain to come, and it didn't come the first time. God didn't answer the prayer first time. God didn't answer the prayer second time. God didn't answer the prayer third time. God didn't answer the prayer fourth time. We'll get people say, oh, I prayed, and God didn't answer. I prayed. Oh, just go sulk. Pray again and again and again and again and again until you get your heart's desire, because he said he would do it. He said, ask what you will, and the Father would give it to you. I love that. Now, from faith of Abraham, Brother Bram said, he says, it's not just for the apostles, but to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. And then the Holy Spirit wasn't only in one person. Oh, really? You know, they taught that doctrine back in the 60s. I won't say the brother's name, but he was from the tabernacle. Then he went out and started a church. He preached that Brother Branham was the only man with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm sure he had a lot of quotes as evidence. You know how they do it. They can take cow eating grass up from the tree and those things. And Brother Branham says, look, and then the Holy Spirit wasn't in just one person. It's in the entire church universal doing the same things that Jesus did. What? In the church universal, in the entire church doing the same things? Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Look, this isn't Brian Kosorik. This isn't some harebrained scheme that I've got to be different. I'm quoting a vindicated prophet, but people don't want to quote a vindicated prophet. They want to quote somebody in the fivefold ministry. I'm sorry, but I don't care if you're a teacher. As Brother Vail was a teacher, he's still a fivefold minister. And he's not above the other fivefold ministers. He's told me that 100 times, if not once. He's not above the fivefold. He's part of the fivefold. People say, well, the word of the Lord comes from Brother Vail. It doesn't. The word of the Lord comes from a prophet. Now, I love Brother Vail. Brother Vail was my mentor, and he didn't mentor anybody else. He mentored one person, and that was me. And I wasn't afraid to go nose to nose with Brother Vail over issues, because people would say stuff, and they'd try to make an issue out of it. Oh, Brother Vail's vindicated. Brother Vail's not more, he's no more vindicated than I am. He's no more vindicated than you are. Now, he might have been indicated by one who was vindicated, but that's different. Indication and vindication are two different things. I could speak nice about you and say, he's my Baptist brother with the Holy Ghost. I could tell you, there's people that Brother Branham said they were filled with the Holy Ghost, or they got the Holy Ghost, and yet they believe completely contrary to the doctrine. What are you going to do with that? You just got to leave it alone. Because a person can be anointed every hour of their life with the Holy Ghost and still go to hell. That don't mean they're a son of God, because they got an anointing. That anointing's got to be on the soul. There's got to be a gene seed from God there. So Brother Branham says, it's in the entire church universal doing the same thing that Jesus did. Hallelujah. I challenge the world to believe that. And you'll see a revival break through every country. You'll see divine healing and the power of Almighty God. He's here now. Then why do we say something different? If he said it's in the entire church universal doing the same works that Jesus did, and that's what his challenge was to the world, to the believers. Well, I've been challenging the people's faith to believe this, and some brand me as false. That's all right. But who is false when they refuse to say what's on the tapes? And refuse to say only what's on the tapes? I'm sorry, but only one man was vindicated in this hour, and I just read several quotes from that one man. Where John 14:12 is anybody, everybody. He said it, not me. So when I say what he said, I'm false? Does that make sense? When he says it's not one person, and I say it's not one person, oh, now I'm false because I say what a prophet says? And yet they claim to believe a prophet? I don't think they do. I think they've got their own notion of what this message is all about. We also showed you last night where Brother Branham said in John 14:12 and in John 20:21, where he tied the two together, he said that we would be able to do, the believer would be able to do the works of Jesus did, because he promised to not only send us, but to go in us. Just as God not only sent Jesus, but went in him. For after all, as Nicodemus said to Jesus, no man can do the things that you do except the Spirit of God be in him. Then right before we closed last night, we began to address the question, then if we are to do the works of Christ, then what are the works of Christ? That's the big contention right now, because some say the works of Christ was a discernment. And I challenge you on that. I challenge that. That may be a work. Just like you have many attributes. I could look at some of the children here and say, well, you got your father's hair, you got your father's nose, you got your mother's eyes, you got this and that. And that doesn't make you a child of God if you don't have all of the attributes of your father. Right? It would make you a clone if you did. But it doesn't make you not your father's child if you only have a few of those attributes. Paul said we have a measure of faith. Brother Brown said he had it without measure. We have it by measure. All right? So we find in John 6:28, then said they unto him, what shall we do? Now here's the question, because we're going to look this morning on what are the works of Christ. Because those works, if you have the Holy Ghost, they're already being done. But because you've been blinded by some doctrine that's wrong, that focuses on a man instead of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, look at Jesus, then look at yourself. Compare the two. He didn't say even look at me. He looked at Jesus. And he tried so hard in his life to be that image of Christ projecting. He had to crucify William Branham to do so. He had to. And we do too. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living. It's Christ living in me. And so Jesus says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's the first of all works. Notice they asked Jesus, point blank, what are the works of God? And Jesus said the first thing in order to be able to do the works of God, and in fact the first work of God, is that you must believe the one that God sends. That's number one. And of course that lines up with the definition Brother Branham gave of John 20:21. The Christ that sends you goes with you, goes in you. Because unless you believe the one he sends, you're not even a believer. So how would the works of a believer, if you're not even a believer, if you don't believe him, that's number one. Well then, how can you do the works of Christ? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, the works that I do shall he, the believer, do also. Right? But if you're not even a believer, it doesn't apply. It just doesn't apply. That's why we see throughout all the churches in this message, I'm going to say all. That's why we see in many, or even most of the churches in this message, we're not seeing the works of Christ. You know why? Because they're not believers. They're not believing a vindicated prophet. They're not saying what he said. They say a little bit of what he said, but then they've got their own little ideologies, their own camps, their own little doctrines that they want to push. They're not saying what he said. Excuse me. Notice Jesus himself said, I came to do the works of my Father and to do his will. And he said, I am here to make sure that I do not lose any whom God has given me. That is a sign of a good shepherd, to make sure the ones that God gave to him to lead and guide will make it. That should be the most important thing that we also do, to look out for one another, to make sure that we do not lose any that God has given to us. Now, from God in his word, Brother Brown said, as the Father sent him and went with him, he's sending us and going with us and performing. Notice, and performing the works of Christ as Christ performed the works of God. Going with us through death and raise us up in the last days, God is in his people. From hear ye him. And I would really love to see you listen to every one of the 18 times Brother Branham preached hear ye him, until it becomes so part of your nature. Because Brother Branham said it was the most requested sermon he ever preached. Hear ye him. Because he deals with the relationship that we're supposed to have with the Father, which is the same relationship that God had with his son Jesus. And Brother Branham says, from hear ye him, he says, that's the way Christ is doing in his church. He's beating it and turning it and beating it and turning it and beating it. How dare a preacher be so sissified enough not to tell the word of God and tell men and women when they're living wrong? Tell them it's wrong to wear their immoral clothes. It's wrong to smoke cigarettes. It's wrong to stay home from church. It's wrong to go gambling and racing and carrying on the way that the church is doing today and playing lotteries and things. God forbid them. God forbid when I have to do that. No, sir. Beat that thing until Jesus beats it with the Holy Ghost, until he sees his own reflection in it. Then you can see the works of Christ being performed in the church. Then she's ready for the rapture. Notice. God is going to beat. Now, I think that's why we're going to need a squeeze. Going to need a real hard time to get our minds off the camps. Get our minds off the little idiosyncrasies and our church this and our church that. We're going to get our eyes focused on Christ, because our church ain't going to do it for us. It ain't going to be able to do it for us, but he can. Brother Branham said, when the squeeze comes down, what takes place? He says, you already know what the third pole is about. But it'll take the squeeze. When the squeeze comes down, when that council church begins to tighten up, then you'll see the third pole come into effect in the bride. Well, what's that? John 14:12. That's exactly what it is. And how can we say, well, that's only for one person? Now listen, one of these days, these things that I've been hammering on will begin to be seen in a greater measure right here in this little assembly. We've already seen more of God doing supernatural things among this little church in the 30-some years that we've been together than I've seen in any church in this message. But you wait until this revelation sinks in, and what you've seen in potential, before you will see it in a greater measure, and when you begin to see the works of Christ among us, like it was in the early church, know one thing for sure. We're nearing the rapture. Because we're being conformed to the image of the firstborn son, we are becoming manifested sons, and this is... And listen, the rapture. What is the rapture? Shout, voice, trump. Is that right? All right. Now, when does the body change take place? under the voice, right? During the resurrection, right? What's after that? Catching away, the trump of God, right? What's after that? For 3.5 years, we're going to be at what? Wedding supper, right? That's not millennium. That's not millennium. Wedding supper will be in another dimension with him while tribulation and destruction is happening all over the earth. Once the tribulation and destruction is finished, then we come back. The saints walk on the ashes of the wicked. You understand? There is an order to these things. I preached years ago. One of these days I'm going to preach it again. I sat down with Brother Vail. We went over the order of every single thing, the appearing, coming, the shout, the voice of Trump, all these things, even Armageddon, where that's placed in Scripture, and the White Throne Judgment, where that's placed in the Scripture. We went through all these things, and I preached right from those notes. I preached a message on it. I'm going to do it again one time so that you can understand. It's not finished yet, brother, sister, but it's getting close. And the more we can die to ourselves, the more we can become conformed to that image, then there's nothing left, but there's just a resurrection. But before that resurrection, there's got to be, Paul said, we are transformed, how? By the renewing of the mind. This has got to change. Then this will follow. You see? That's why he said, God will make your body obey your confession. Your body obey your confession. You see? Too many preachers want your body to obey his confession. Right? But that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. There's a freedom in Christ. You see? We've got to come back like it was in the early church. Now, from stature of a perfect man, Brother Brown said, when the one that was beating could see his own reflection like in a mirror, it was clean and clear enough till it reflected the beater. That's the way God does. He takes the gold that he has found in the earth, and he beats it by the Holy Spirit, turns it over and over and over, and beating it until he sees his own reflection. And that's what we're supposed to do, reflect the Son of God. And now we're supposed to do his works. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. And that's where we have a problem. They went out, and Brother Branham, there's a beautiful quote, Brother Gordon said it during the week, where Brother Branham was talking about, he said, there's three kind of believers, you know. And he said, one kind is very formal, they're starchy, they're kind of miserable people. But he said, but they can talk the word, they can talk it, and they can do the action, they can do things. He said, but they're just, the Spirit of God's not there. Then he said, you got the fanatical way over here on the other side, and they're always trying to do something. But he said, that right in the middle, you have the real, genuine believer. And he said, the problem is that that these guys that are fanatical are trying to imitate the real, genuine believer. But they're trying to do it in the flesh. Whereas the real, genuine believer, he just dies to himself and lets God do whatever God's going to do. And that's where we're at today. Now, and that's what I say. The problem that I see is that we have people who have tried to press into this and that, but you can't press into it. God is sovereign, and no one tells God what he must do or what he must not do. Even when I was talking to Brother Vail about John 14:12, I said, Brother Vail, I don't understand what these brothers are fussing about. I said, nobody's preaching that we got to go out and do things. I said, what I'm trying to get the people to come to the place is that our attitude, our objective, our motive is that whatever God wants to do, we're willing to do it. And he said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's where God wants us. But notice, as Brother Branham said, God will not say do until he sees his own Son living in you. But the great thing is that God is working in us. God is working in us to will and to do. That is a divine promise of God. And we're promised that we will be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. We will be manifested sons. And so all we need to do is just let go and let God. Now from he that is in you, Brother Branham said, but he that is in you is Christ. If Christ is in you, the works of Christ you will do. If Christ lives in you. He says, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. If Christ lived in you, then Christ is the Word. Is that right? And the Word comes to his prophets. See? And if Christ lived in you, the works of Christ would be done through you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. the works that he did, the life that he lived, and everything, it would live in you. Just like if Shakespeare or Beethoven or whoever it was lived in you. See, if you are still living your own life, then your own works you will do. See, but if you're living the life of Christ, if Christ is in you, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. If your doubts and frustrations about God's promises in you, then Christ isn't there. That's why you're not seeing the works of Christ. People have doubts and frustrations. See, you're only worked up. But if Christ is living in you, his word he will recognize and his promise he will do. See, he'll do it. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, look, if it's Christ living in you, then who's asking? Christ is asking. Then how can he turn down himself? Huh? If it's his spirit in you asking, how can then he turn himself down? He can't. Hallelujah. From what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? He said, and when the life of Christ is in you, you'll live like Christ. And the works of Christ you will do. From God's gifts always find their place. He said, notice now, we find that if he identified, the works that he did identified that he was deity, showed that he was the Father, for he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, listen, could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of Christ, excuse me, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did the works, creation, works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. The Christ, the Creator that sends us, does the works of Christ the Creator. Didn't we see that with the squirrels? And you say, see, it's just one. No. Brother Bosworth, Brother Vale's own testimony. Brother Bosworth, there's people that were born without eardrums. And Brother Bosworth, see, God gave Brother Bosworth a special something when it came to praying for deaf children. Remember how he emptied out a whole school? They had to close the school of the deaf down in Chicago. There was no more patients. The whole school went to the meeting. He prayed one by one and every single one of them got healed. Over 225,000 confirmed healings in that one man's ministry. Huh? More than this shall you do because I go to my Father. There's 40 quotes that Brother Branham says that he says the greater works would be in the Church Universal. Now there's also about 40 that he says it's in his own ministry. Does that mean that he was wrong one time and 40 times and wrong 40 times the other times? No. It means it's the same thing. He's part of the body of Christ. And if it's good in him and it's good in the body, it's good universally. You see? I mean, just because, look. How many believe that there are men that are ordained by God to lay hands on the sick? All right? We know that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, right? One of them is to preach, right? Does that mean there's only one preacher? Does that mean that when that one preacher came forth and he fulfilled that gift, he fulfilled that portion of the Word of God, that means that Word of God can't be fulfilled anywhere else? You see how simplistic the minds become? This exclusivity, our church has it, our group has it, nobody else has it. I tell you what, that's your death knell, because that's denominational, that's an organizational spirit. You got to flee that. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You see? Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian also say, today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not. Look, he said it. Why should I believe you if there's no signs that you're a Christian? If your conduct is not Christian, your speech is not Christian, your actions are not Christian, why should I then say, oh, I believe you're a Christian? You know, if he quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, flies like a duck, I think it might be a duck, right? And they were called Christians because they were what? Christ-like. You see, the gospel's so simple. It's just so simple. Why do we try to confuse it? Then the Christian today has got to do the life that Christ did, or we have a right to say it's not so. That's from Brother Branham. I'm going to read it again. Then the Christian today has got to do the life that Christ did, or we have a right to say it's not so. Now, from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, he tore the body of Jesus apart, taking the spirit, lifted up the body to the right hand of the throne, and sent down the other part, the part that he tore out the spirit upon us, which is called the Holy Spirit. And the very life that was in Christ is in you. That shows that he's your Redeemer. He's adopted you unto God. And now we are sons and daughters of God with one spirit, the Spirit of Christ. The works that I do shall you do also. Greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Amen. The Spirit that was in him is on you. Eternal life. He is the giver of eternal life. He is a Redeemer to bring back that which fell in the fall in the human race, to bring back to God. And the Spirit that was in Christ is in you. And if the spirit of a villain was in me, I'd have guns. If the spirit of an artist was in me, I'd paint pictures. If the spirit of Christ is in me, the works of Christ you'll do. Amen. That's right. The life that's in him is in you. It transfers the life from anything to another thing. Okay? So what are the works of Christ? What are the works of Christ that we're supposed to do? Well, as we look into the works of Christ, I think you'd be very, very surprised this morning what the scriptures tell us. Things you have been doing all along since you've been born again, when you've been led of the Holy Spirit, that you never realized those same things Christ did himself as he was led of the Spirit as well. Remember, when he received the Holy Ghost, remember Brother Brown said he was anointed with the Holy Ghost? He said he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, and after his baptism, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit, right? Too many people think of miracles. I think that's the works, just miracles. But you know, the Apostle John, if you read the Gospel of John, you're going to find that whenever he referred to miracles, he actually referred to signs or signs and miracles. But when he referred to works, sometimes he referred to miracles, but other times he referred to other things. As that's why Brother Branham, 263 times, he quotes John 14:12 as, "The things that I do shall you do also." Because that's an expression of who you are. Works are the daily things that you do. How many people go to work every day? Right? What do you do at work? You do something different from you, right? You do something different from you, right? And from you, right? But there's the things you do, right? Well, when Jesus said, "The works that I do, on a daily basis, the things that I'm doing." That's all you talk about, the things that I'm doing. So let's look at the works Jesus said that God sent him to do. Because as Brother Branham said, the same God that sent Jesus and went with him is the same God that sends us and goes with us to do the same work. So if we want to know what he was called to do, and remember Brother Branham said, compare him and then compare yourself. So if you want to know what he was called to do, we will know what we are called to do. All right. The first is, you know, if you'd open your Bibles to Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That means he's anointed, right? Because the Lord hath anointed me, number one, to preach good tidings unto the meek. Number two, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And number four, the opening of prisons to them that are bound. Now show me which one of those is not important in the church of the living God, in the body of Christ. Now the last three deal with a sort of deliverance ministry. Delivering a person from a broken heart. Delivering those who have been held captive and setting them free. And showing the open door for those who have been bound as prisoners in a church system. Now the good tidings he talks about, first of all, are defined in the Hebrew dictionary as the following. To announce the glad news. That's why it's called the gospel. The glad news. Or to publish, or to show forth, or to bear, or to bring, or to carry, or to preach, to tell the good tidings. First he says, I've been called to preach the gospel. I've been called to give the good news to the poor. Now as I've said in the past, if placing burdens upon the people and ruling them with a rod of iron, if that's good news, who needs it? Is not talking to family members? No, you can't talk to family members because they might disagree with you on one point, some silly little point. But that's the good news. Good news that we can isolate you from your brothers. Good news that we can isolate you from your sister. Is that good news? No. Is talking about people behind their backs and trying to assassinate their character because they might disagree with you over one little scripture, is that good news? No. In fact, Brother Branham said, you can disagree with everything I preach and still come to this church and be part of this church. Is that our attitude? Or does everybody got a step, lockstep, like a bunch of Nazis after what the preacher says? Is calling your children and your grandchildren and your in-laws serpent seed because they disagree with you? Is that good news? Huh? No, brothers and sisters, those things are done by spiritually sick people. We should pray for them. Who live themselves, they themselves live in fear. Because they put a man in a place to that man they couldn't move without that man's permission. I mean, that man didn't put himself in that place. They put him in that place. I've been to churches, brother and sister, where the people could not buy a car without getting the pastor's permission. They could not buy their clothes without getting the pastor's permission. The pastors would go into their house and they'd look at, you brother shouldn't wear a gray suit because it's not black, it's not white, it's kind of, lukewarm. Sisters, you shouldn't wear pink because, that's sexual. Oh, you've got a spider plant in your house. Ooh, that's icky. That's exactly the way the man did it. Yeah. Why in the world would preachers be so high-minded that they think the people have to follow them? We're supposed to follow the Holy Spirit. Sons of God are led by the pastor. Is that what it says? Sons of God are led by the teacher. Is that what it says? Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. First he says, I've been called to preach the gospel of good news. Look at the next three parts of his preaching, what it does. Notice the good news he preached to the meek is the work of the Holy Spirit where Jesus was anointed to do, and the preaching, the good news, was to bind up the brokenhearted. Now what does the Hebrew word for bind up mean? You know what it means? It means to help the brokenhearted. It means to like put a compress to keep it from bleeding. But they read it and says, bind up the brokenhearted. That means that if you're kind of a weak person, we can have fun and just rule over you and just bash you down and make you feel like, you got to have our permission for everything. That's not what it says. It says, stop the bleeding of the brokenhearted. Put your arm around the brother who's down. Put your arm around the sister who's down. Talk to them. Console them. If he is the God of all comfort, then what do we read when Jesus said, he said, if you did the works of Abraham, you'd believe me. He said, if you're children of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. If we're the children of God, wouldn't we do the works of God? If he's a God of all comfort, aren't we supposed to be the children who comfort? Amen. Amen? Did not Jesus say to the religious preachers of his day, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do? And you do that which you have seen of your father, and I only do that which I've seen of my father. And then they said, well, we're children of Abraham. And Jesus said, well, if you're children of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. But you seek to destroy me because I've told you the truth. Abraham would not have acted that way, for he rejoiced to see my day. But the reason you cannot hear my word is because there's no place for my word in your hearts. It's only your organizational spirit. Now, as Christians, we are called to do the works of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer. Or one member be honored. All members rejoice with the one being honored. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I've seen more mercy in the Catholic Church, who's completely works-oriented, than I've seen in this message amongst the message churches. Where is mercy? Like Brother Branham said, you say, well, he's wrong, Brother Branham. He said, if he's wrong, so what? Help him. For crying out loud, where is the Spirit of Christ in the people that claim to be Christians? Christ-like. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, if He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and we are His children and conform to His image, then if that is His work, then would not our work be the same thing? Then one of the works of Christ that we shall do is bringing comfort to one another. And how do we do that? By giving His word to one another as a healing ointment. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4:4-8. Paul says that we bring comfort through repeating the words that he told us concerning the process of the rapture. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What words? The fact that we're already in the process of the rapture. That we've already... People are wondering, am I going to make it? Listen, has God opened to you the shout? Has He? Did you find it on your own or did He bring it to you? Don't you think when the resurrection takes place, He won't bring that to you as well? Comfort one another with these words. You see, the Lord Himself has descended with a shout, which we know is the message. And knowing that the one who descended with the shout is still here in the form of the pillar of fire, still leading us to the millennium. And so the very next thing we have to look forward to is just waiting for the voice of the resurrection. And then the trump of God, which is the change of the body and the catching away. So we comfort one another by sharing with one another this end time truth. And we do it depending on what measure of gift that we have to do it with. Some people are just much better at it than others. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. You know what psalms are? They're kind of like poems. And in hymns. And in spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How do we comfort one another? Sing a song. Some of you sisters have such beautiful voices. And I really enjoy it. And you can sing the same song all the time. I don't care. So if your repertoire is whatever. Listen. And when Preston, when I saw you get up there, my heart just beat. So don't hold back. That's a gift God gave you for His people. You see, that's the works of Christ in you. Let it flow freely, brother. Because God can use words. And you write your own songs if you can. If you can't, sing what has been anointed and blessed before. Write your own songs and God will minister through your words to others. And comfort the souls of His children. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves. So if you're not comforting one another, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Remember the woman whose husband said, you know, they were arguing about there isn't any real Christians anymore? And you know, you kind of get that way in this message. You look around and you say, oh, is there any real Christians anymore? How many times have I been tempted to buy that land out in Montana and just go and just get away from everybody? But He don't want me to get away from everybody. No, there's things for us to do. But look at the little woman. The man comes in, he says, fix me some eggs. Well, she fixes the eggs and he probably exactly the way he liked them, but he lied. And he said, that ain't the way I like them. And he throws them on the floor. He said, come on, boys. And they go out in the other room, and they're sitting there just waiting to see what her reaction is. And instead of yelling at him and calling him names and calling him a liar and everything else, that is the way I know that's the way I fix them because I always fix them that way for you. You're a liar. No. What does she do? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And He's my cross today. And there's a cross for me. Right? What happened to that man? God brought him to his knees in tears. What happened to the other men with him? The same thing. Brother Brown said, we don't lead people to Christ through an organizational spirit or the doctrines of men. We lead people to Christ by them seeing Christ in you. They want what you've got. Therefore, if Jesus came speaking and preaching words that lifted up those who were troubled in their hearts, maybe you sisters think, well, I can't preach. But let me say this, if there's a message in your heart that you feel would bring comfort to the people, may it come out in your songs. Because that's one thing that he has allowed in the church. Amen? And listen, you are preachers to your children. You are. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Now, sometimes we might think that we're feeble-minded, especially as we get older. But comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward a selected few. Is that what it says? Be patient toward those people who you think you can gain from. Is that what it says? It says, be patient toward all men. That's the believer and the unbeliever. That's the person that might not see it the way you see it. Again, 1 Thessalonians 3:7. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you. We are comforted over you in all of our afflictions and distresses by your faith. Notice the people's faith was a comfort to Paul. We see in 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them. Notice, God comforts us that we may comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that beautiful? God comforts you. The God that sends you goes in you. He comforts you. You comfort others. Isn't that the way it was meant to be? Colossians 2:2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The hearts might be comforted. And you know what that is? Where it says, to the full assurance of the mystery of God, that's Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The threefold revelation, that is God was in Christ, God is in you, and it brings you back to fellowship with him. 2 Corinthians 7:13. Therefore we are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. How refreshing it is for a pastor like myself to see people progressing, moving ahead, becoming victorious. You know, not babies, but growing up and becoming real Christians. And when I see the people actually ministering to others, comforting others, helping others, to me, that's such a precious thing. And Paul says, I am comforted by the comfort wherewith you are comforted. When I see that you're comforted, it comforts me. When a shepherd looks upon his sheep and they're just happy to be eating the clover, it's a comfort to the shepherd. You see? Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Notice we are comforted in your comfort. I love that. And that is what the works of Christ in you will produce, comfort in seeing others comforted. Paul said Titus himself was comforted and refreshed in his spirit by their spirit. You know, as Brother Branham said, there are certain people you just love to be around. Because they make you feel good. Because they create an atmosphere around them by the things that they think on, the things that they talk about. And you get refreshed being in their presence. And does not the scripture say that that refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord? I'll tell you, there's a few brothers in here. I really love to be around them. They make me feel good. They're not serious all the time. They're not doom and gloom. They enjoy life. I've seen that for years. I'll tell you one of them, Brother Don, Brother Ron. Brothers that I would bring people up to Grace Gospel when Brother Bell was preaching. And hardly anybody would talk to them, but Brother Don, he'd always come over. He'd always put his arm around brothers. Where are you from? Say, what's your name, brother? You are? No. My name is Don, but what's your name? You are Dahl. No. That was his name. You are. But it was just that manner. It was that. See, that's the life. That's what we're talking about. People come up to visit Brother Vail, Brother Jimmy, Sister Lois. Just always there to meet their needs. Water, popcorn, whatever you want. Just to make sure that, you know, you feel comfortable up there. That's what life is all about. Eternal life is living for others. I see that in Sister Helena. I see that in so many of you. I see that in Adam's wife. Always cooking for somebody. Always trying to do something. I see that in my wife. I see that in her cousin Caroline. Always trying to help somebody. That's eternal life, living for others. I see it in Jennifer. Always there, and Brother Gordon, always there, trying to help somebody. Bringing food, bringing things. You know, it's just, that's the way, that's Christ in you. That's the works of Christ. That's a reflection of the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life. You see? And Brother Branham said, we create that atmosphere that we live in. And he called us what? Little Messiahettes. Remember, he tells a story about how his wife was really having a bad day. Kids were screaming. He had people in and out all day long for interviews. And he comes in at, you know, supper time. The food was burning. Probably, you know, smoke was rising in the kitchen. The kids were fighting with each other. Brother Bram said, I wanted to change the atmosphere. So I changed the subject, you know. The wife was crying. Said, "Oh, let's just go out to eat. Let's go down to that hamburger joint." And you know, honey, I was thinking about that dress that we've been talking about. Let's go get that for you. You know? And he said, and I just got her mind. And then he said, "Well, she's all, oh, we don't need to go out. Let's, you know," she said, I just got to redo this." He said, starts rolling for sleeves. He said, "I'll help you cook." You know, probably doing it funny because, you know, if you ever seen the home movies, you know, Brother Bram could really be funny. Changing the atmosphere. He said, what I was doing, all the time I was talking to her, I was praying inside of me, "Lord, change the atmosphere." You see, that was Christ in him. Working on, because his wife was just, it was a hard, hard time. And so what happened? Pretty soon she starts to laugh. "Well, you can't cook. Oh, you just watch me." You know, and he rolls up his sleeve and so he's jesting with her. And finally, he said, "I got him." We went out to eat and just changed the atmosphere. He said, and pretty soon he said, the wife was smiling, she was laughing. He said, then the kids started playing with each other. Before that, he said, Joseph was raising a fuss, you know, sitting in the high chair and squawking with the kids. And he said, and all of a sudden they're all playing happily. You see, it's our atmosphere. We create that atmosphere. And that's that Christ. That's the works of Christ. You know, we always want to put some type of a goal that's so far out you can't reach it. And I've always taught my children, make little goals in your life. Daily goals that you can accomplish every day. If you make yourself a task, you know, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to get at least two things done every day. Even if they're just little things, I'm going to get two things done. Maybe when you get real old, you say the two things, I'm going to brush my teeth and, you know, get out of my pajamas, you know. But you got to have some goals and objectives. Well, if those goals and objectives are right here in the Word of God, who can I bring comfort to today? Who can I lift into heavenly places? Bring with me into heavenly places. I got to get there first myself. Then maybe I can bring somebody with me. You understand? He said he called us little messiahs. He said we create that atmosphere around us. You see, you can't tell me that's not a work of the Holy Spirit in the person. Then if it is a work of the Holy Spirit, then it's a work of Christ. And the works that I do, shall you do also. It's a matter of Christ in you reflecting His life through you. That others become refreshed by the presence of the Lord that's living and projecting His life through you. Next we see the fulfillment in Luke 4:18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Jesus Himself saying, "The Lord have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now we've talked on that, and you know, you sisters are the preachers to your children in your songs and those things and in your life. And then He also said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And we've talked on that and how that we can do that for one another through various ways. And then He said to preach deliverance to the captives. And if we don't have an opportunity to do that work of Christ in this world that we live in, and even in the churches, in the messages, churches, where that Nicolaitan spirit has bound the people in a way that hasn't been since the dark ages when the popes ruled the people with a rod of iron. If we don't have an opportunity to set people free, who have been dragged into bondage by that organizational spirit, then all I can say is, God, help us to open our eyes, because there's people in bondage everywhere. But you who are free in Christ, you have an opportunity to do the works of Christ and set the captives free. You've got to be free in order to set the captives free. That's what we are anointed to do. That's what he was anointed to do. That's what we're anointed to do. And that is what you are anointed to do. The works that I do, shall you do also. Then he adds another work when he says, and recovering of sight to the blind. Now, this can be taken two different ways. We can see it as an act of healing in the natural, and also as an act of healing in the spiritual realm. But it is the same spirit in both that produces the healing. I prayed for the sick overseas, a man that was blind, and the man saw. I pray, and I've spoken to the brothers in many places around the world, and they've come to me afterwards and said, we've been preaching for 20, 30 years in this message, and we didn't even know how to read our Bibles. And you've shown us today that we need to take one thought at a time. Setting the captive free, opening the eyes of the blind. Like a man wrote to me when I sent him the first books that we put out on the presence of God and the Godhead. And the man wrote to me from Africa. He said, I always wondered about that Ethiopian eunuch. He said, until I read the book and understood now what the great appearing of God is all about. And he said, I am that Ethiopian eunuch. When I read your book, God opened my eyes. See, when Stephen talked to the man about the scriptures, what happened? He opened his eyes. When Jesus talked after his resurrection to the two that were on the road to Emmaus, what happened? Their eyes were opened. Talk to them. Talk to those who are bound. Comfort them. And may God use you to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captives free. Hallelujah. And then Jesus says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now the word bruise also means crushed. Because that is what a bruise is, when the skin and muscles have been crushed. And I've seen firsthand brothers who have been suppressed, brothers who have been spiritually bruised in the spirit, crushed in their spirit, under the mean-spirited leadership in some churches. And I've taken the time to reach out and minister to them. And I've seen brothers set free by the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word. And now these brothers themselves, who had been crushed, are setting others free who have been bruised and crushed. And you see the effect of the Holy Spirit from one to another to another. I could name a lot of brothers' names right now that I know who have been set free under the works of Christ in the ministry. And these brothers are now setting others free, doing the same work of Christ that He did first, that others before us have done. And finally, is our turn to do for others what's been done for us. Another work of Christ is giving so others will not perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His own Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Too much condemnation, too much condemning, too much, you know, our nose in the air, and we're somebody, and the rest of the world, they can go to hell for all I care. Well, if you got a spirit like that, you got a spirit of the devil. That's what Brother Branham said. That's not of God. When they said, why don't we call fire down upon them because they rejected and wouldn't let us in their city? Jesus said, what kind of spirit you got? That's not the spirit of Christ. When they nailed Him to the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Another work of Christ is Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. I look at people, you know, not to pick certain people out, but I look at certain brothers in here, always doing something for somebody. They got maybe a mechanical skill, so people throw it on them. They don't complain. Some I might complain to themselves, but they don't complain outwardly. They just do it. That's the spirit of Christ. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured back to you again. Then we find in Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus telling us another reason why he came, another work that he was enlisted of the Father to do. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So we do the same works that he did. We seek the lost to save the lost. That's what missionary work is all about. You don't have to go overseas to seek the lost. Just look around you. Look around you. You got people coming to the store all the time. You create atmospheres. The people love to be there. They love to talk to you. They love the way that the people are in the store. You know, they love the way you act, the way you comfort them, the way you help them make a good day for them. You don't have to go overseas. This nation needs more missionaries than any country that I know of. As Brother Branham said, that we've got a bunch of intellectual heathens in this country. And they can't be won. They can't be won over by intellectualism either. But they can be won over by seeing you and seeing in you what they want in themselves. And the only Christ that they may see is the Christ in you. And they'll see that Christ if you're doing the works of Christ. In Mark 10:45, Jesus tells us another work that he came to do. He said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I see that attribute in many of you sisters here. That you're always there, you're serving, you're helping, you're doing something. I hope you see and are beginning to understand that the works of Christ is not just doing miracles or discerning the hearts of men. Sure, those are, they're also works of Christ, but there are many works of Christ that I've not even gotten to this evening or this morning. But one thing that I'm certain of, that as there are many varied children of God, there are also many varied works of God to be done in the body of Christ. I could be asking you as long as we go along, and you might just be asking yourself the question as I read these works of Christ to you, hey, I've done that. Some of these things that I've already mentioned, have you said in your heart, you know, that's me. I've done those things. Or that might be Brother so-and-so. I saw that in Brother so-and-so. I've done this also. And little by little, you're beginning to understand that all along, your Father has been working in you to will and to do. You see, it's Him in you, making you want to do those things. Not just to will, but to will and to do. And if He is in us willing and doing, then that means He is using this body and your body to do the works that Jesus did. Because it is the same God willing it and the same God that's doing it. But those who think that the works of Christ is only discernment do not know Christ. He did less of that than He did of all these other things. And just because you do not discern does not mean that you have not done any of the same works that Jesus Himself did for His Father. Again, in Luke 5, verse 31 to 32, that Jesus came not only to pray for the sick for healing, but to call the sinners to repentance. And Jesus answering them said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. In 1 John 4, verse 9 to 10, that we see that Jesus was sent into this world that we might have life. In this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Be an example, as Christ was an example. That's a work of Christ. You know, more people came to this message because of the life that Brother Branham lived than the doctrine he preached or the miracles that God did through him. More people saw the way that he conducted his life, and that's what attracted them to this message. I know, I've been around quite a few places. And that's the main theme I hear everywhere, if we could just be like that man was. Jesus was the most disciplined person filled with purpose-filled man who ever lived. Every word that he spoke, every action he took, was centered in his relationship with the Father and was a perfect reflection of the Father's will, purpose, and plan. And with that eternal life flowing through his veins, everything he did was for others. Another work that he did was to introduce the disciples to the glory of the Father, to introduce them to the doxa, to the values, to the opinions, to the judgments of the Father by reflecting God's glory, his doxa, his values, his opinions, his judgments. In John 17:22, he tells us that he was a good steward of what God gave him, and he passed along what God gave him to us that we might also be one with God as he was one. He said, and the glory which thou gavest me, that's the doxa, the doxa which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they might be one, even as we are one. In John 17, 4 to 5, he says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And then in John 19, 30, John tells us that Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. Another work of Christ that we hear in all the Gospels is how Jesus fed the multitudes. And some of you sisters have done a pretty good job of that. I'm not being funny. It's truthful. Some of you are always putting things out now. Some of us look like maybe we should resist a little bit more. But the fact is that some of you sisters are really, really wonderful. And that spirit that was in Jesus to feed the multitudes is projected in you to feed the multitudes. You've done the same thing. And spiritually speaking, you see what he done in his ministry, translating sermons into... Well, anyway. You know, Jesus took a loaf and fishes and he fed thousands. And we've taken one loaf, one sermon, and somehow be able to break that into 268 pieces and give that up. Finally, Brother Brown said in his new ministry, he said, when he was here on earth, he told Peter on the revelation of the word, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Isn't that right? All right. When he was, before he left, Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say that? In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things. He also said, the works that I do shall you do also. Is that right? That's the signs that follows his church. It's not a denomination. It's ordained of God, Holy Ghost filled, heavenly born church, and comes out of all denominations. A real believing bunch of people. Don't you see what the greater thing is? The greatest thing that could ever happen was to impart eternal life to people. What is eternal life? The life that he lived. The life that was in him. Imparting that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can. There's the greater works. And from this day on Calvary, he said, now watch. Jesus said, watch how he stated it. The works that I do, he's doing them right now. The works that I'm doing now, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, these works shall you do also. You'll do these if you believe in me. You do these works, and then a greater thing shall you do, for I go to my Father. Now notice, Brother Branham speaks of works, and then a greater work, making a distinction between the two. And then he goes on to say, a little while and the world sees me no more, yet you'll see me. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive. But you can receive him. Now notice, the greater works was to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. The Holy Ghost was coming and giving, given into the hands of the church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into a place to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and to impart eternal life. By giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers, men who were once unbelievers, he made believers and imparted spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say to this sick woman laying here, I can pray a prayer of faith over you and she'll be healed. That's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. But he said, even greater than this shall you do. I'm going to give you the power not only to raise him up for a while, but to give him eternal life, which will be eternal power. Poor, blind, wretched people, how do you miss that? How can we miss that? Therefore, in closing, I would like to just recap the works of Christ that we've seen thus far as to the works of Christ that should be in us. Number one, he said, healing the sick. I've seen little children in here, 4 years old, pray for 3 year old and God heal them. Number two, healing the brokenhearted. I've seen many of you do that for one another. Number three, setting at liberty those who are bound. I've seen some of you doing that and still trying to do that. Helping friends to see when they can't see. Number four, setting the captives free. Number five and six, he came to seek and to save. Number seven, serving others. Number eight, he fed the multitudes. Number nine, he stopped the storm, showing God gave him power over nature itself. Number ten, he walked on water. Peter walked on water. Number 11, he raised the dead. Number 12, he changed elements, the water into wine. Or as Brother Branham did, gas, water into gasoline. Number 13, he sanctified himself for us. We can sanctify ourselves for others. Number 14, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Those are all the works of Christ. You ought to have been through those. And number 15, imparting life. From his message to the new ministry, Brother Branham said, when he was here on earth, he told Peter on the revelation of the word, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is that right? Isn't that right? All right? When he was, before he left, Mark 16, I think I've already read this, this is the one he says, the greatest thing that could ever happen was to impart eternal life in a people. And from on that day of Calvary, he said, now notice, the greater works was to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. In closing, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, it says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works are performed by that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That's John 20, 21. As he sent me, so I'm sending you. As he sent me and came into me and he went with me, so I'm sending you, I'm coming into you, and I'm going with you. And then Paul says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? In other words, just because one man might have a greater measure of faith and perhaps do more of the works of Christ than does another person, that doesn't mean that only that person is doing the works of Christ. And for the brethren that think that because Brother Branham discerned and we do not discern, that means that only William Branham was qualified as the only believer of John 14:12. That is so ridiculous. That would be like saying, since all these works are subsets of the works of Christ, therefore, since one man does a work that you and I do not do, that means that you are not a subset, you are not a member of the body of Christ. In other words, in math, we say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, those are whole numbers. But just because you have only one or you have only three does not put you out of the set of whole numbers. You understand? You still are part of the body of Christ. Just because you might be the ear and not the eye doesn't mean that you're not part of the body of Christ. You understand? In closing, Paul said in Philippians 4 and 3, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Again, in Philippians 2 and 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 19, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. If we hold to those rules that we can do all things through Christ, that we don't complain about doing them, and that we're doing everything for others, God can use you. Now, from questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, it's moving up, pressing into God, close now. How do we know? Well, now, when Luther received justification, he called that the Holy Ghost, and it was. God dipped a little of it in. Then he said what? Wesley received sanctification, said, boy, when you shout, you've got it. But a lot of them shouted but didn't have it. When Pentecost spoke in tongues, unknown tongues, and they said, boy, you've got it, but a lot of them didn't have it. There's no such thing as some signs of knowing that. The only way that you know a tree, Jesus said, is by the fruits that it bears, the works of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Then when you see a person that's filled with power, that's filled with the Holy Ghost, then you see a life that has been changed. You see these things following them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If a snake would bite them, it wouldn't hurt them. If they have had a deadly thing, drinking it, it wouldn't kill them. They lay their hands on the sick and they should recover. My. These kind of signs follow them that believe, but how do you get into it? Them gifts are in the body. How do you get into the body? Not by speaking your way into it, but by being baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. One Spirit, we're all baptized into one body and subject to all the gifts. The Lord bless you now. Now, if someone should hear this tape and someone here would disagree with this tape, remember, do it friendly, brother, because I love you. And one last quote from What Is the Works? He said, that's the way it is with you. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, any man that's filled with the Holy Spirit says things that he hardly knows sometimes what it is that he's saying. if he's truly carried away in the Spirit? How about you people with the gifts of tongues? What is any other inspiration? If it's in English and not in an unknown tongue, it's still inspiration and you speak it. Have times where I'd be so inspired by the Spirit, I'd say things and write down the things that I didn't even know that I did. And you have too, no doubt. That's the works of the Spirit. So what are the works of the Spirit? Being led of the Holy Spirit. And following whatever He would have you do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because there's been a cloud of confusion concerning John 14:12, the works of Christ. And to know that He came to seek and save. He came to comfort the brokenhearted. He came to do these wonderful things. And we see the same works being done in Your church. And we've seen miracles too, Father. We know that. But that's not our focus. Our focus is on just reflecting You. And knowing that the very life that You lived in Your Son, that You lived in Your prophet William Branham, You are here living in Your children. Getting us ready. Conforming us to the image of the firstborn Son. We thank You, Father. And may Your word and Your life express itself in the works that we do, being the same works that Your Son Jesus did. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And we pray, Father, that You would help us, as Paul said, when I look out upon You, to see nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace. And give thee peace forever. The Lord